Wonder Woman.
Hey.
Hey, thank you for taking the time out to do this, man. I know you are a busy woman. So, first of all, I want to say, welcome. How did you find out that, you said in private that your friends called you Wonder Woman / Black Widow, which is a first, because you are the first person ever on my show to have two different people. And I always have a first for everybody. That's kind of my goal. So how did you come up with Wonder Woman / Black Widow as a combination? Or was that something that somebody gave you?
So I used to be an exotic dancer, and because I would wear these 6-inch boots and had really like red hair, as brunette hair, a lot of people would call me, they're like, oh my gosh, you look like Wonder Woman. And I actually started wearing like t-shirts and stuff to work, but I incorporated the Black Widow because I felt like because I have more of a colored past on related Wonder Woman, but I always get the Wonder Woman just the way I carry myself, I guess.
Oh, with confidence. Wonder Woman is known for her confidence, definitely. Mm-hmm. I can see that. I could definitely see that. So what is a day in the life like for you? Is it busy? Is it quiet? What's a day in the life?
Well, I kind of have a unique story. I've gone through being a super workaholic for years. And then last summer, I almost died from a gnarly Crohn's flare-up. It totally blocked off my small intestine. So I lost like 30 pounds in less than 3 weeks because I wasn't able to absorb anything. And normally the doctors can get it controlled from steroids and stuff like that. But it took almost a month and a half of being in the hospital over the summer. Right now I'm more just focused on my health and getting back on track with my health, being a mama bear to my beautiful baby girl Aurora, and getting to a place where I can go after my goals and dreams that I want to do.
I love that, especially you really tugged at my heartstrings when you said that you are a former workaholic. And I find that in our society that we live in, it's encouraged to be a workaholic, push things to the limit, don't take any breaks, # no days off, whatever you want to put in there, right? And I find that even though that sounds good in conversation, it's not the best way to actually live. Because I'm also, I share that with you, I'm also a workaholic. And my friends yell at me because once I have like a goal in mind, I don't want to hear that it can't be done. I don't want to hear that things will come up as I go. I don't want to hear like the negative side of it. Like I tend to, I've mellowed out with it a lot, but early on I was very much, like you said, like, okay, so here's where I want to go. And I don't know how long it would take me to get there, but I'm going to push myself until I get there. And so how did you, outside of any health issues that might have came up, was there kind of a day when you said, you know what, I'm sick of being a workaholic, or I want to like tone it down? Like, was there a day that kind of happened with that?
So it happened while hospital. I remember laying in the bed just like having all these regrets of things that I hadn't gone after. But I also am really overwhelmed by the lots of things I have to do to get those things done. You know, I get really overwhelmed by thinking about. I actually came up with a little concept for myself of, instead of thinking about how much I have to get done and how many months or years, why don't you just focus on like how big you can live for today? And like for me, when I first got out of the hospital, it living big for me was just being able to brush my teeth, right? Like getting up and brushing my teeth, because my body had just been wrecked. And now it's okay, well, singing's a goal of mine. How many minutes, how many hours am I going to put into practicing the piano, doing vocal and practicing that, and writing music and working on my music production and different things like that. And I really love the rule of, is it, you do 18 minutes a day, every day for a year, and you are in like the 5% or 10% of whatever it is. I can't remember who it is. It's the guy that is married to the girl who created Spanx, Jesse something, I think. I can't remember his name, his last name. I'm horrible with names, but he talked about it. About how if you even just put 18 minutes a day towards something. So I kind of have just tried to follow that, where it's like, okay, how much can I get done today? And I know that some days are going to be less than others, but as long as I focus on just trying to, like what Andy Frisella talks about, trying to win the day, and those days eventually add up. And you might miss a day here or there, but if you have, you win the knot, you eventually, you win the year, you win the decade.
Yeah. And Sarah Blakely is the person he's married to.
Yes. What? Is it Metz? No, it's not Metz. That's going to bug me. I'm going to have to look that up.
No, I'll definitely help you out. I'll send you some stuff, because I'm also looking for his last name. But I love that. And I find that doing what works for you, right, is kind of the key point of becoming successful in any arena. Because I used to be one of those guys that would wake up at 5 a.m. consistently, and then I realized I hate that shit. I hate it. Like, I hate waking up at 5 a.m. every single day. Like, I do it when I really have something on my mind or something on my heart to talk about. But to just wake up at 5 a.m. because I see that that's what everybody else is doing, it got old really fast. Like, I find.
Yeah.
I think, like, finding what success looks like for you kind of takes the brakes off. It takes the brakes off feeling like you have to keep up with your peers that are waking up at 3 a.m. every day, or 5 a.m, whatever the time is that they happen to be waking up. And I guess that brings my next question. Like, do you have like a morning routine? Because most people have like a morning routine. So do you have one, or you kind of just go with the flow?
I have zero. And I kind of am using my daughter to sleep till she sleeps. And
I love that.
But I eventually want to get into some type of routine, because I kind of do better, but thing, and I don't know, ADHD or something, but I loved learning to go with the flow on my day. And I believe that pressure is required with certain things, but I feel like when we make our life nothing, that's when things stop. And so for me, one of the things that I've been working on is, okay, if I have this goal, I'm going to go really hard for like 2 weeks on it. Or I'm going to do an extra hour here, extra hour there for these 2 weeks and get my momentum up. Or get to the point where it's like, my day kind of got away from me here, so I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm just going to put in some more effort tomorrow. And some people might be like, well, that's you having a lack of discipline. That's you not caring about your dream as hard. And I think when people, I don't know if I have some type of underlying depression or, you know, like I said, an ADHD thing. But I think when people deal with mental health stuff, it's not as black and white as you're disciplined or you're not disciplined.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been as I kind of dive off onto a semi-different topic, but one of the things I've kind of been noticing as I've gone through my healing journey is a lot of the way I've lived my life has been a defense mechanism for the trauma that I went through. And so as I'm going through and healing that, I'm realizing that, you know, I wasn't lazy. It's not a thing of procrastination. It's a way of me protecting myself from stuff that's happened to me in the past that might happen in the future, if that makes sense.
No, you know what? It totally does. And it's funny because somebody was getting on me about something similar, not in terms of depression, but always having like a contingency plan. And a lot of the times I do, even with work, right? So I love my last job, very much so. I was on time. I did what I was told, so on and so forth. But I was still on the receiving end of being laid off. So in my brain, I said at some point, okay, well, what can I do so that way this doesn't happen again? So I ended up having like a bunch of like 2 to 3 contingency plans, right? So that way, if in the event that a job or a romance or anything like that doesn't work out, I'm not crippled by that. Like, I'm not sitting there wondering what's my next thing. And they were reminding me that that does come from a place of always feeling like the rug is going to be ripped out from under you, so to speak, because you've been in different spaces where you gave something your all and then it didn't work out. So now you feel like, well, if I have this, and this in place, then when this happens, it's not as earth-shattering or it's not as hard-hitting. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Favorite little lessons, little nuggets that I've learned is look at life. Things are happening for you no matter what happens, whether you perceive it as good or bad. Everything starts to change in your life, even that it's happening for you. I can't keep a regular job for somebody to save my life because of my health. Of my eye Crohn's disease. So between like the horrific like fatigue and sick and all that that comes with it, like it's hard to keep a regular job. And last job that I got fired from, it really struck a nerve with me because I was like, how hard I try on this or that, like I'm never with me and give me a chance. And so I internalized it, and it affected the way I work, which is already an issue that I have to work through. And I eventually got to the point where it's like, well, what if this is happening? Because it's going to propel you into bigger things. It has.
Yeah.
That I'm for the moment. It's helped steer me to a path where I feel like I needed to go on things. And I wouldn't have done that on my own had I not been fired. And so when you can start to look at. Even with having a perspective, I still get frustrated. I still get butthurt. I still internalize things. Because it's human nature. You can course correct and be like, okay, this sucked, but this is for my good. And I'm not going to see it now, but eventually I'm going to be able to look down the road and be like, it happened if that happens.
Yeah. See, I know we were meant to have this conversation because I really lean on like gratitude now. Like that's really been my way of dealing with things that don't work out. Like especially when you really, really like want them to work out and for whatever reason they just don't. And even though I was slightly butthurt that my job came to an end abruptly, if I had stayed at my job, I wouldn't have met people that are really, really aligned with me if I had stayed at my job. And I was already connecting with, it's funny you're a songwriter because I think I have a heart for songwriters because I keep meeting songwriters. I do, like I, and that might be the writer in me, but don't tell anybody. But I think that sometimes when something comes to an end abruptly, it, like you said, like it makes way for something bigger and or better, or to connect with the right people instead of these people that are pre-chosen, right, to a certain degree. So I think it puts you in the driver's seat to say, well, welcome back, Wonder Woman. I hate when it does that. You know what? No, fucking aim.
We adapt, right? We adjust and adapt.
Right, we adapt. See, I knew we were friends for a reason. I fucking knew it. So before we got rudely interrupted, so I definitely love what you said about realizing that sometimes things that come to an end abruptly is a sign that something bigger is coming, because I used to beat myself up about that part of it, about that part of life. I've always been big on commitments, and once I say yes, really being able to see it through, because I didn't want to feel as though I made it a habit of starting things and not finishing them. Mm-hmm. So I used to beat myself up a whole lot about things just abruptly coming to an end. And I love that you said that when things do, even though you don't always see it coming, that it is a sign for something better. And one of my ways of combating that or battling that has really been leaning into like gratitude. And I've really been leaning into this whole thing of just enjoying the moment, right? Like enjoying the conversations you have with people, enjoying the connections you have along the way. And even if they don't go to the end with you, even though you may want them to, enjoying the time spent. That's really what I've been leaning into. And I think from a writer to a songwriter, I think that there's like this unspoken memory or word, or I'm trying to come up with the right word for it, but there's something about just sitting within the moment and just mm-hmm. enjoying the moment. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, absolutely. I think we get I think when we get too caught up in things that have happened in the past and reminiscing, and then get too caught up on the future and worrying about what we need to get done or wanting to get done, I think that's where we fall into a lot of depression and anxiety and overwhelm, is because we're worrying about things that we either cannot change or have no control over, because we have no idea what's going to happen, right? We can have the best plan, the best routine, and we never know what's going to happen to throw a wrench in the whole thing. I think when you get to a place where you can be like, you know what, I'm really excited about the things that are going to happen, and I'm grateful for the things that I've learned, but I'm really just going to be in this moment and enjoy this moment. I'm going to enjoy, you know, for me, it's, I'm going to enjoy getting up and making breakfast with my kid. I'm going to enjoy cleaning up her toys, because those toys aren't going to be there one day. I'm going to enjoy the 45 minutes down at night, even though I'm exhausted, because she loves for me to rock her to sleep to her. And I'm not going to have that one day. There's going to be a day that she's going to break my whole heart and say, I don't want you to rock me anymore. I don't want that. I'm too big for that, mommy. And, you know, it's just learning to live in the moment and enjoy it. Because, you know, when you look at things like the days we're in today are the days we used to pray for. Even though we're not where we want to be in life, we used to pray for these moments of where we're at, or what we've been able to experience or accomplish or go through. And we're going to wake up one day and we're going to be in the next chapter that we prayed for, and we'll have missed being in the moment of where we're at.
Yeah. That was soundbite of the fucking day. Okay. So I'm just putting it like that. But no, before, like, I think that I love that, because I find myself like taking a step back from always being in pursuit. I've spent a long time being in pursuit, and it feels like when you're in pursuit that whatever it is that you're after, it's almost like it evades you a little bit, because mm-hmm. you're always chasing. And one of the things that's been going around on like Facebook and Instagram, different places, is stop chasing and start attracting. And when you start to attract, it doesn't feel like you're chasing, or it doesn't feel like work, or it doesn't feel like you're, as they say, dragging your feet, because mm-hmm. it's meant for you anyway. Like, it's your particular thing. And I find that when you get to a place of not chasing, but attracting, you have like enough energy and endurance to go through whatever it is that you're dealing with, because you're not chasing, you're attracting. Yeah. Like, and it's a weird song and dance. It's weird, but in the grand scheme of things, like, it makes sense.
Right? Well, scientific. They've done studies on it where when two frequencies mm-hmm. that are on the same wavelength meet each other, they actually yeah. amplify each other. It's like when you go to an event, like I just recently went to Limitless in Utah, and mm-hmm. it was amazing, the energy there. And it just, it lights you on fire, and you just feed off of each other. You know, when you go to events, or when you're working on things that you're passionate about, when you're around people that get you and are on the same vibes as you and working towards maybe not necessarily the exact same goals, but in the direction of achieving goals, you know, it does something. It's why they talk about how who you are around has such a huge impact on the success or failure in your life.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it can feel like you're talking a different language to people that may not be thinking the way that you think. Mm-hmm. Not that it has to be like identical, because it doesn't, because that would be boring. But, but
awake to the concept yet?
but it's a beautiful thing. Like, when you find, even if their way of getting to where you are is vastly different, like, I find that it's just like a kindred soul or a kindred spirit, and you guys just. Mm-hmm. get other man, and it doesn't take a lot of explanation. I find, like, when you really just mesh well with somebody, it's like, holy fuck, this person gets me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rock with this person forever. Like, yep. Or at least I get like that, but don't judge me, guys. But I think that, like, when you get to a space like that, like, it's just beautiful, man. And you feel like it's just you two against, not against everybody, but people that are on the outside can't pierce your bubble, if that makes sense.
Well, I think too, to enhance that, I think if you can get to a place as well where any situation, whether it's business, personal, mm-hmm. just acquaintances, if you can get to a place where you can look at something and say, okay, I'm going to love the hell out of this while I'm doing it or while I'm with them. And if it ends, it's going to suck, but I'm going to know that there's something better out there. So to always go 100% in on what you're doing, but never attaching to it so hard that the outcome, if it were to end, would break you. And knowing that, hey, these people are, or this experience is something that I needed in this phase of my life. And if it ends, it's going to suck. But if it doesn't, I'm going to continue to give my all to it. I feel like people, I'm going to switch mm-hmm. it to relationships for a minute, but I feel like people put too much pressure on their relationships when they're like, this is going to be a forever thing. And I feel like instead you went into it like, you know what? I'm going to give everything I've got today.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this the best relationship I can do today. And then you just do that every day. And I feel like if you were to just focus on one day at a time and being in the present versus, mm-hmm. well, this is just my forever and that's it, you know, I feel like when people feel like they have something for forever, they don't have to work on it anymore.
Mm.
And so when you look at it, it's like, I'm going to look at this like, this is the last day I have with this person. I'm going to make it the best. Or this is the last day I have with this opportunity. I'm going to make it the best. And you just wake up and you do that every day.
Yeah. See, you're dropping gems already. fucking hate. No, but that's true. I definitely think that that's true. And I think that even when it comes to like relationships, the best case scenario would be finding, you know, somebody that sees where you're going and isn't trying to get in your way, but wants to add fuel to your rocket ship, if you will, or wants to like accompany you on this crazy ass journey that we're all on called life. But I do love what you said about, like, even if this ends at a certain point, just loving the time spent, right? Because I find that, like, when things abruptly end, we can beat ourselves up. We can't, because we feel like something might have went wrong, or something we said, something we did that we did not know we did. And we go through a bunch of scenarios that didn't actually happen. And it's like, no, that's not what happened. You're just, this person was meant to teach you a lesson and they taught you the lesson. Now it's time to move on to the next lesson or the next adventure or the next phase of life.
I hope it didn't drop again. Did it drop again?
No, it didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, it
was weird. I was like, ah! to give a personal experience, my kid's dad, when I met him, I have never been in love with somebody the way that I was in love with him. And that's one thing that I'm grateful for, that even though him and I are dated in such an amazing love at the time. Yeah. And even though it was a painful and not so beautiful split, I learned a lot from the relationship, and I was able to look within myself and heal even more of myself and look at things gone to an even better person in my next relationship when I decide to not be chicken and dip my toe back into the dating pool. But it just is, you know, learning to look at things like that, like the for you, things happen for you, is there for you. Man, I don't know if I would have gotten through it as gracefully as I had if I hadn't looked at it that way and just really, because it was it was painful. It was my best friend and the love of my life. And, you know, but. You just looking back on it through a lot of the changes I needed to make had that not happened.
Yeah. I could definitely relate to that. And a thought that came up was, and this might be the part of life that I'm not particularly fond of, but sometimes it can feel like, especially when you get used to being like a person being in your presence, that one minute they're with you and then the next, for whatever reason, they just aren't. Like, even if, not that anything tragic happened, like nobody died or anything, but I think just getting to a space of gratitude, that's really where I am now. Because I used to be a stubborn mule about stuff like that, because I would get to somebody being in my presence and then they would get called off on a different adventure. And it's like, wait, where the fuck are you going? Like, you just got here. Where are you going? Yeah. So I've learned to just operate more in like gratitude and not really, like we said, like we've been talking about, look at people that come to an end as like, you did something wrong, this is your punishment. And it's not always punishment. It's just, this person was meant to like teach you a lesson, and now it's time for you to go and find like another lesson or another adventure. So I love that you talked about like relationships, like the relationship aspect of it, because even in marriage or talking about marriage, people run away from the idea of getting married a second time.
Yeah.
Like, people are kind of like, Well, if this shit doesn't work out, I'm never getting married ever again.
Yep.
And it's, well, there's so many people, man. Like, how did you just shut yourself off that way? Like, I could not. I couldn't.
I still go through it. I joke about, I'll joke all the time about how I'm either going on a boy diet or how I want to, in my mind, I'm running over everything with a ding-a-ling in my head. Like, when I'm mad at men, you know, like, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with you. Even my male dog, I'm like, dude, go away from me. Like, I don't, you are a male. Like, get away. Like, I just don't want anything. It's just human nature. But I think you can get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm this way, and I know this isn't all of them. I know that this is just one experience, or even if you've had 20 experiences of bad relationship, like, it's not the majority. And gosh, I wish I could remember where I heard it from to give them credit, but I remember listening to a podcast about somebody talking about finding the one, and how people just expect it to be this easy thing, and I'm just gonna randomly find them. I'm not gonna have to go on too many dates. And it's like, you're looking for this rare, amazing, beautiful, once in a lifetime relationship in a sea of 8 billion people. Like, you're not just gonna find it on the first, second, 50th try. Like, sometimes that happens, but when you're looking for something like that, that's so precious, it's just not gonna walk up on you on the street, you know, like maybe a random rom-com moment for the blessed people get to find that, but for the majority of people, you know, it's something that you have to look for. You have to put yourself out there. And I need to be, I'm talking to myself on this, because I'm such a hermit and I don't like to go out unless I have to. It's one of the things that I loved about being a dancer was I got my social life in while I was working, and then I could just go home and be a hermit and didn't have to go out.
So you killed two birds with one stone, basically.
Yes,
you
kind of killed two birds with one stone.
I agree with that. I definitely agree. And I think that there's, I call it finding the one syndrome. And it's almost like you don't need anybody unless you can find the one. And it's like, well, okay, I mean, that works for some, but where's the fun in it? Like, where's the fun in not dating anybody until you find the one?
Yeah.
And sometimes I find that they knock you on your ass because you don't see them fucking coming. And then it's like, oh, well, shit, okay. I wasn't expecting to fall for this person, but it happened.
Right.
And then it becomes like an adventure within itself. Like, I think some, not all people, but some have like this find the one syndrome where they don't date anybody until they find like their key person.
That's me. I'm totally that. And like, I'm super, sometimes we get in our own way, and I'm totally guilty of that. Like, I get in my own way all the time when it comes to dating because I want a specific type. And I feel like for me, it's kind of a defense mechanism, because the more things that you want a person to be, like, you kind of take, like, you, like, for me, I'm 6 feet tall. I would love to end up with somebody who I could wear my 6-inch heels in and have them still be taller. And the likelihood of that is very slim. Not impossible, but it's slim. And some, you know, sometimes we just get in our own way with stuff. And also, to go back to the one syndrome, one of the things I've learned as through my healing is, I would never
wait, I didn't hear what you said.
Fourth quarter, baby. Fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. We're not quitting. But my final piece of advice, I'd say, keeping at the forefront that it's not about you at the end of it. Because if it's about you, then at some point you might stop, or at some point you might give up. And I found this quote that has really been sticking with me, and it says, I might be paraphrasing, but it says something along the lines of, we are all building a tree that we know that we will never sit under. And the purpose of entrepreneurship, songwriting, whatever it is that you're doing, is to make somebody else's life better. Yes, we can have all of these great things that we want to do, but who are you serving at the end of the day? Like, who are you helping?
Absolutely.
And so I think that if you keep that in mind, you won't let the big amazing moments go to your head, and you won't let the defeating moments go to your heart, if you keep in mind that whatever you come up with is meant to be shared with somebody else, so that way they can, not that you're doing it for them, but you're making their path easier, because you've already been through something similar to what they've been through. So when you look at it like that, it makes you, like, even when you don't want to do it anymore, it makes you want to go the extra mile. It makes you want to go the distance. So that would be my, I guess, my last piece of advice is asking, who can I serve or who can I help? And keeping in mind that it's not about you at the end of it.
I like that. Can I expand on your family balance one?
Yeah, by all means.
So everybody has their opinion on family balance, whether a family work balance, whether it can be done or not. And I, gosh, again, I need to write these things down where I hear them so I can give people credit. Because mom brain, I'm the worst at remembering things. But I remember, I want to say it was Sean Whalen, but I can't remember for sure. But they talked about how, instead of trying to find work-life balance, find work that you can bring your family along with, like you can do with your family. So you're never having to pick between the two. There's always a chance and an opportunity for the family to be involved.
Yeah.
And you're never having to give up work to be with the family, and you're never having to give up family time to be at work.
That definitely flips the work-life balance on its head. That definitely does. I love that. I'm going to have to write that down.
Yeah, and sorry to whoever came up with that point, and I don't remember who did, and I'm not able to give you credit because... But yeah.
So, with your songwriting, are you trying to... Are you using it just like a form of expression, or are you trying to be like the next Elvis Presley? The next Taylor Swift?
So, I have had a huge dream of like being an international phenomenon, and I don't know if it will still happen, but it's kind of changed routes a little bit. I feel like with the way that our country is, I wanted to write something that would bring us together. Yeah. And there was a creator on TikTok, and I'm not going to remember her tag. But she talked about how, isn't it going to be great when there's a purple wave? And I was like, that is brilliant. And so right now I'm working on my song called No Guts, No Glory. And it's going to be my sole thing that I'm focused on to try and bring our country together and understand that we have differences. We see things differently. But at the base of it all, you know, America is a melting pot for tons of cultures, tons of backgrounds, religious, non-religious, different ethnicities. Like, that's just what America is. It's not a European country. It's not a Hispanic country. It's not African American. You know, it's none of that. It's a melting pot of all of it. And we need to get back to remembering that we are supposed to be in this together, you know, differences and all. Our differences are what makes us beautiful. It's how we learn things. And, you know, right now we're the analogy where you put red ants and black ants in a mason jar. And if you leave it alone, nobody does anything. Like, the ants leave each other alone. But when somebody comes along and shakes it up, they fight each other because they think that the other one is the one that's causing the commotion. And so my people will say that it's political, but it's more just on a human level, reminding us that we are all the same. You know, at the end of the day, we all bleed red and we're all human and we all have our issues and trials and tribulations and celebrations and exciting things that happen to us. And and I want to help us get back to that. And if it progresses from there, awesome. But I just really feel that that's where I'm called to do things right now.
I love that. I'm whenever the song is out, like, I'm definitely gonna listen to it. I'm always on the lookout for new music anyway, so I would put it like in my rotation somewhere, because I'm always looking for like new workout songs or whatever kind of vibe you're on during the song. So
yeah,
like, yeah, I would definitely, I'm looking forward to that, my damn self. So I don't know how much time you have, but this has been awesome. So I guess my final question would be, do you have any like future plans outside of like songwriting or anything like that? Or are you kind of just, like we said, like taking it day by day?
I think it's a mix of both. I am trying to take things day by day, but you know, going back to a lot of stuff I've learned from Andy Frisella, where he talks about being the example of what you want to see, my goals right now with the music are really just to become the best example I can be for myself, my daughter, eventually my family and neighborhood and community. And
yeah,
one of the things that I want to do is get a women's group together in my neighborhood and eventually have it be a nationwide thing where women start finding our villages again, you know, because I feel like
I'm here, no worries. Can you hear me? Fifth quarter, baby.
Yeah, overtime. Oh, man. Grit. It's all grit. I don't know how much grit. I heard on the last part, but more just... trying to become the best version of myself, and hopefully that bleeds out into my family, my community, my neighborhood, and eventually the world. But you know, like one of the guys I love talks about it, it starts with us, and that's just kind of the goal. I miss the community that I grew up with and the America I grew up with, and I think here. And you know, it all starts with us. And so that's just kind of the goal, is becoming the best version of myself. And one of the things that I've learned to go more with the flow on is when things don't go as planned, because normally, well, not normally, every time, if you allow it to, it steers you in an even better direction if you can get out of your own way. So living day by day with the goal of becoming the best version of myself, and just seeing where life takes me.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, because I think that sometimes us as people, we want to have our hand on the steering wheel 100% of the time, instead of, like you said, just going with the flow and seeing where life takes us, because the unexpected detours that might happen might lead you to a more beautiful place than if you were in control, like, all the time.
Absolutely. Now, I will say this. I do have specific goals, but I am keeping those under wraps. But there's more than one way to skin cat, as they say. It's and PETA don't come after me, but there's multiple ways to get I'm saying is, and so to go with the flow and not get hung up on, well, I have to get there this way or I won't get there at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know what, I think that life is much more fun when you take off. Okay, so I have a plan, so I have to stick to this particular plan. If it doesn't add up in this particular plan, I'm not doing shit.
Yep.
Like, I think that there's fun in, well, okay, well, that didn't go right. Okay, well, let me veer to the left a little bit, or let me veer, like, to the right a little bit. And being open to, like you said, like, what, not necessarily what life throws at you, but, like, the detours that come with life, and not letting the ones that come up kind of make you crash, if you will. Like, you're kind of like, well, that didn't work out. Okay, so I can approach it this way. And then when you end up approaching it that way, it leads you to, like, to a better, like, destination. So, I agree. I agree with that 100%.
Absolutely. Now, I would like to do a little shameless plug, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I do have some really cool things that I want to do nationwide that are not completely set up yet, but I would love for everybody listening to come follow me on my new page I set up. That's at How Big Did I Live Today on my Instagram and my TikTok. Eventually I'll create a Facebook page for it. But because I'd really love to see the movement that I'm in the middle of creating go nationwide and have us become an unstoppable positive force in this world. So,
yeah. I didn't even know you had Instagram. I feel some type of way.
Yeah.
No, but I love that. I love that you are really making it about, like, not necessarily what's going to happen in 10 years, but what am I doing today? Like, that will get me closer to my goal that I still have, like, in 10 years. Because I find that a lot of us, myself included, may get caught up in, like, the grand scheme of what God has planned. And so sometimes we feel like the small things that we're doing on a day-to-day aren't always a win, or may not always matter as much as they do. So I love that you're, like you said, focusing on what you're doing right now. Even though you have, like, those 5, 10 year, 20 year goals, you're making it about, like, the day to day. So I love that. I appreciate that. And I love that.
Awesome.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? I don't want to keep too much.
No, I'm just really, this is my first podcast, pop my podcast cherry. This is, you know, I will tell people I was nervous to get on here. And it
really?
Goes back, why? Goes back to my lack of self-worth or feeling like I'm worthy of people listening to, right? And that's a thing that I'm still working on. But I'm really glad that I overcame the fear of getting on here and doing this, because this was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing this, and even though we got shut down a few times.
They ain't stopping shit.
Okay? Yep, they ain't stopping shit. So, but yeah, we'll definitely have to do it again for sure. And who knows, maybe I will start a podcast and I'll have you on.
Yeah, I'll definitely return the favor. I don't know why you were nervous. I don't know why.
That is a... it is a personal self-worth... Who know? No. So, but I'm not letting it conquer me. I'm conquering it. So
that part.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time, man. This was fun. Super dope to just laugh with you and get to know you a little bit. So I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll definitely do, like, a part two, or I'll come on yours whenever you set it up. Like, yeah, like, we're forever connected. Yes, I said the F word. No, I'm not. But, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely come on yours whenever you set it up.
Awesome. For sure.
All right, much love. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye. Fifth quarter, baby.
Yeah, overtime. Grit. It's all grit. I don't know how much I heard on the last part, but I'm more just trying to become the best version of myself, and hopefully that bleeds out into my family, my community, my neighborhood, and eventually the world. But, you know, like one of the guys I love talks about it, it starts with us. And that's just kind of the goal. I miss the community that I grew up with and the America I grew up with. And I think, and, you know, it all starts with us. And so that's just kind of the goal, is becoming the best version of myself. And one of the things that I've learned to go more with the flow on is when things don't go as planned, because normally, well, not normally, every time, if you allow it to, it steers you in an even better direction if you can get out of your own way. So living day by day with the goal of becoming the best version of myself, and just seeing where life takes me.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, because I think that sometimes us as people, we want to have our hand on the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time, instead of, like you said, just going with the flow and seeing where life takes us, because the unexpected detours that might happen might lead you to a more beautiful place than if you were in control, like, all the time.
Absolutely. Now, I will say this, I do have specific goals, but I am keeping those under wraps. But there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. It's and PETA don't come after me, but there's multiple ways to get to, I'm saying, and so to go with the flow and not get hung up on, well, I have to get there this way or I won't get there at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know what, I think that life is much more fun when you take off. Okay, so I have a plan. So I have to stick to this particular plan. If it doesn't add up in this particular plan, I'm not doing shit.
Yep.
Like, I think that there's fun in, well, okay, well, that didn't go right. Okay, well, let me veer to the left a little bit, or let me veer, like, to the right a little bit. And being open to, like you said, like, not necessarily what life throws at you, but like the detours that come with life, and not letting the ones that come up kind of make you crash, if you will. Like, you're kind of like, well, that didn't work out. Okay, so I can approach it this way. And then when you end up approaching it that way, it leads you to, like, to a better, like, destination. So I agree. I agree with that 100%.
Absolutely. Now, I would like to do a little shameless plug, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I do have some really cool things that I want to do nationwide that are not completely set up yet. But I would love for everybody listening to come follow me on my new page I set up. That's at How Big Did I Live Today on my Instagram and my TikTok. Eventually, I'll create a Facebook page for it. Because I'd really love to see the movement that I'm in the middle of creating go nationwide and have us become an unstoppable positive force in this world. So,
yeah, I didn't even know you had Instagram. I feel some type of way.
Yeah.
No, but I love that. I love that you are really making it about, like, not necessarily what's going to happen in 10 years, but what am I doing today? Like, that will get me closer to my goal that I still have, like, in 10 years. Because I find that a lot of us, myself included, may get caught up in, like, the grand scheme of what God has planned. And so sometimes we feel like the small things that we're doing on a day-to-day aren't always a win, or may not always matter as much as they do. So I love that you're, like you said, focusing on what you're doing right now, even though you have, like, those 5, 10 year, 20 year goals, you're making it about, like, the day to day. So I love that. I appreciate that. And I love that.
Absolutely.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? I don't want to keep too much.
No, I'm just really, this is my first podcast. Pop my podcast cherry. This is, you know, I will tell people I was nervous to get on here. And it,
really?
it goes back to my lack of self-worth or feeling like I'm worthy of people listening to, right? And that's a thing that I'm still working on. But I'm really glad that I overcame the fear of getting on here and doing this, because this was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing this, and even though we got shut down a few times.
They ain't stopping shit.
Okay? Yep, they ain't stopping shit. So, but yeah, we'll definitely have to do it again for sure. And who knows, maybe I will start a podcast and I'll have you on.
Yeah, I'll definitely return the favor. I don't know why you were nervous. I don't know why.
That is a... It is a personal self-worth. Who know? No. So... But I'm not letting it conquer me. I'm conquering it. So
that part.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time, man. This was fun. Super dope to just laugh with you and get to know you a little bit. So I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll definitely do like a part two, or I'll come on yours whenever you set it up. Like, yeah, like we're forever connected. Yes, I said the F word. No, I'm not. But yeah. I mean, I'll definitely come on yours whenever you set it up.
Awesome. For sure.
All right. Much love. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.